found this on Ganarum. Ganarmir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
Signifiance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me...
Aaron O'Brien.
And...
Faith Hertzberg.
And the space-time continuum has come to its inevitable loop. Justin Dimmitt is with us tonight.
Yes.
Greetings.
Yay!
He got in his TARDIS and showed up.
Actually, it was a transporter pattern buffer diagnostic cycle that got me here.
Oh, you're sort of like Scotty stuck in the Dyson Relics. Sphere thing.
Just not that long. It was only about 10 years, not 70.
Well, at least it spat you out eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
what was the poor guy's name? Poor Shelby or whatever his name was, who like just got eaten up by the transporter.
Yeah, his pattern degraded too much.
No!
Franklin!
No.
Oh, you remembered his name.
Franklin.
Wow.
Of course.
Nice.
Well, I mean, he was, you know, using that joke, so he better know.
Yeah, I guess.
Justin does a web series called Prosperlog.
Correct.
And it goes by Indie Trekker on YouTube.
Yeah, you can check him out on YouTube. And he became a fan of the show. We became a fan of his things. And we kind of just both, ping each other back and forth with stupid Star Trek stuff.
He's one of the six active people on our Facebook page. So if you want to check out our Facebook group, you should definitely check it out. Our shenanigans are legendary between Justin, Faith, and I.
Oh, yeah. We definitely are the ones that create some awesome situations. And Justin is a key part of this.
Faith is also contemporary artist. She likes blowing things at her nose whenever she laughs at us.
It's not my fault that I spontaneously eject coffee because you guys catch me off guard.
I just don't want to get arrested by the NSA, so that's why I keep quiet with your guys' shenanigans.
He's right, you know. He's right, you know.
What's up with the crap we do? Yeah.
You don't say anything treasonous. It's fine.
Not yet.
Not yet. No.
Okay.
But
Justin actually emailed us like 2 or 3 months ago, wanting to talk with us about the Inner Light, and we finally are able to make it happen.
Well, and the cool thing is Justin is halfway around the world right now, so this is out of modern technology. We are all talking, and we can sync up at the same time without like being up at 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So
woo!
Right.
So
yep.
That's
a
cool.
Lot.
Yeah. So
we can be where we need to be.
Yeah. And Faith. Is currently
at Dragon Con. She's been living it up. We posted some of her pictures last night on our Facebook group of her pretty sweet steampunk with wings cosplay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And anybody listening to the cast, just check out the Dragon Con website, and there's a bunch of photos up there. Check it out. Let me know if you like it or not, because hey, we do this for a reason.
No, that was cool. It was really interesting. I can't wait to see more pictures. In fact, I didn't know that they post all those pictures already. So
then there's also the DragonCon official Facebook page. They post tons of stuff there, too.
I just didn't think anybody would be on top of it. I thought everyone would be like hungover.
Yesterday, I saw like a couple hundred pictures from the parade, although unfortunately I didn't see Faith in the parade until she sent me a picture of herself in the parade.
Yep, they've got the videos for the costume contest. Those are actually now up. They're being aired globally, as well as the videos for the parade that went on Saturday morning. And strangely enough, we had a huge turnout for the parade. Everybody wasn't that hungover to do a parade at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Woo!
Yeah, Planet of the Apes, all the way to the steampunk guys. We made it happen.
Woo!
Wait, did it start off with Planet of the Apes?
Started off with Planet of the Apes and horses, and it was awesome.
Did you get to see Nichelle Nichols? I saw pictures of her in a car.
No, I didn't actually get to see her, but I was hanging out elbow to elbow with all the Umbrella Corps guys. They're actually on the floor of my hotel, so we've been making friends and saying hi and high-fiving every time we go in and out of the lobbies. So
oh, nice.
It's been pretty epic.
Can I ask if you knew if Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes, was he the head of the parade or was there somebody else?
They actually had a guy in his cosplay costume on a horse.
Okay.
Cool. Oh yeah, I saw a couple of the horses. Yeah, those were.
I have to check this out because I'm a huge fan of the original Planet of the Apes movie with Charlton Heston. I just love that movie so much.
There is a major cosplay group that focused specifically on Planet of the Apes, and they are considered the first Star Troopers. Okay, or the Stormtroopers. They are very OCD about your costumes. You have to be very, you know, you have to follow exactly within genre, fit a standard, and everything else. So I mean, these guys were. Right where they should have been. Everybody was in character. It was great.
That's great. Wow. All
right. That's pretty sweet. That's awesome to hear about your time at Dragon Con.
Yeah, just, you know, come back in one piece. I know.
Yeah.
I know, because even after this podcast, this is, you know, we're recording kind of late. She's going to go out and party some more. So.
I know my night has just started, and it's not going to end until tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right.
Just don't get kidnapped by Klingons again, for the love of God. That was rough.
The hangover was really, really bad, but the partying was awesome.
So you couldn't stand me and Aaron talking by ourselves for two episodes? Is that what you're saying?
More or less.
I was kind of hammered for those two episodes, so I don't remember.
Well, let's not talk on me and Dave's faults. Let's talk about Inner Light.
And a little change, we're going to let Justin go ahead and give the synopsis, and we will harass them the way we harass each other.
Oh, yeah, one of the family.
So why don't you get us started? How does this episode start off, Justin?
This one starts off with the Enterprise having just finished a magnetic wave survey of a nearby star sector when they run into a probe of unknown origin.
This happens actually quite often. They always run into probes. Like
they do something really boring, and then they find something else that's also potentially very boring.
Well, they found Nomad that way. They found the Botany Bay that way. I mean, it just goes. List goes on.
It's a way to find cool stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Scan something really boring, and then you'll find something cool.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Everything right. You floating through space is a loaded gun at your face.
Well, this gun's not only loaded, it's also old, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is an old probe. They don't know it yet, but it's old. This probe, it emits a pulse right at Picard, and it knocks him to the ground, knocks him out. You know, like somebody just hit him with a hammer. One minute, he's looking at Commander Riker, and the next...
He's in Riker's arms.
Yeah, he's in Riker's arms. One minute, he's in Riker's arms. Then he's in this lovely woman's arms, who he doesn't know.
I love this first reaction. It's like, holodeck, turn off. No, I didn't know.
Computer.
This is one of Riker's programs.
Computer and program.
I didn't want to be seduced. No.
Well,
I love that
the
title.
Way Riker
that's
goes
his first reaction.
Yeah.
The way Riker goes with holodecks, this could be one of his weird fantasy programs.
Oh, easily.
Easily.
And poor Picard's locked in the holodeck for 70 years.
You just know how many sexy women start walking through the door. You know if it's a Riker program or not.
Oh, yeah, when you get
to
choose.
So far, there's just the one.
So a woman he wakes up to, and it's nobody he knows.
No, but she knows him rather well for some reason.
She's seen him naked, bro.
Oh.
At least once. That's actually going to bring us to the score, but I'll get that later.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
so Picard doesn't know who this is. He's thinking he's on a holodeck. You know, can't end the program, can't contact the ship. He just like, now what?
I'll do what any civilized person will do. I'll go take a walk.
Might as well. Never mind the fact that I've supposedly been down for a month with Regillian fever or something. I'm going to go for a walk.
It makes sense.
I thought it was amazing that he knew how to operate the door. He put the two fingers like, boop, like that, like he knew. I was like, what? How did you know that?
Doors are universal in Star Trek. It doesn't matter how old the civilization, it's just the same buttons.
I literally would be stumbling around like, wait a second, I got this, hold on.
Just got to make sure the door doesn't hit you in the face on the way in or out.
I make an ass of myself.
More like her foot.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, we'll get to that in a little bit.
So Picard's walking around the house, and come to find out, his name isn't Picard right now. He's known as Kamen. So he's walking around the house trying to figure out what's going on. He goes over to the door. She's like, don't go outside. He's like, screw you. I'm going outside.
You're sick, though. You're sick. Don't go outside.
I don't care. I'm going outside. Just trying to stop me, too. So, yeah, he goes outside. I'm out. So he goes out to the village, and they're planting a tree. The tree of hope. The tree of survival. Despite being in the middle of a drought.
The tree of hope and despair.
Yeah, this tree of hope and despair is actually thriving. despite being in the middle of a drought.
Because they're all putting their water rations in there.
But yeah, I won't flush the toilet once so this tree can have some water.
That's right. So we learn on their planet, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
That's actually where it originated.
Scoop it out and put it on the tree to fertilize it.
That's so...
Hang on. No, not good enough. That's fine. Ah, there we go. That's good.
A couple minutes in, we're making poop jokes.
Hey, that's pretty good for us.
Hey, we actually were civil for the first little while. I'm impressed. Good job, guys. Well done.
And no incest jokes.
Not yet.
Soon.
Not yet. So.
We haven't talked about Dr. Crusher yet, so give us time. Give us time.
All right, so Kamen finds the Tree of Hope.
And he finds his good buddy Pliers. Oh, wait, no, that's a Wing Commander 4 reference.
Tom from Office Space.
Yeah.
The guy who gets injured.
Jump to conclusions.
You got it.
Don't jump to conclusions, Kamen.
Yeah.
You're from here.
You're from here. I got it. A big insurance payment coming out.
Too bad it didn't have one. No, wait, no. I don't want to spoil the episode yet.
Yeah. Kamen means, and his name's, what was it?
Batai.
Batai
what?
What? I'm just collecting fertilizer samples. Better. That's all I'm doing.
That's what Butt Eye does.
Better than Brown Eye.
Yeah. Picard asks him if he's the leader of this wonderful establishment.
Yeah, he actually asks him all these strange questions, and Batai is like,
"You should go see the doctor."
Why don't you know just the common knowledge of these things?
Like, man, I knew you've been sick for a while, but I didn't know it was that bad. Jeez.
It's like, no, just humor me. Answer my question.
I just need some basic information. Please help me out here.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And he does give him the basic info that just all the fill in the gaps knowledge, and then Kamen decides he's going to just take a walk.
Yep,
he's just going to stroll for hours out into the wilderness.
He's a big fan of walkabouts, apparently.
Yeah,
never mind. Having just been sick, I'm going for a walk. Yeah, it turns out that Picard is actually embodying a man named Kamen, who is an iron weaver.
What is an iron weaver?
It's a guy that weaves iron. Come on now.
How in the hell would you weave iron? Like, I mean, I'm sorry, but the logic of this escapes me.
Hey, you could do it.
It's a very time consuming process. You've got to like chink it, and then you got to chink the other one, and chink the other one, and chink the other one. And
oh, so it's kind of like watching paint dry.
It's slower than watching paint dry by about 10,000 times. But he's really good at it because he's really methodical.
Yes, and with Picard as tenacious as he is, with him having the tenacity he does. He should be good at it.
And I'm pretty sure he never picks up this job again.
Yeah, we don't mention...
He was good at it, but he never got better. Or did it ever again.
And we never saw any of his work either.
Nope.
Never saw any of that. Yeah, so...
He takes a walk until it's bedtime.
Yeah,
he comes back and he's like, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty.
Yeah, I know. He's like barking at his wife. He doesn't even know.
I do love like how like a little bit later she's like, "Oh, you've never raised your voice." I mean, he technically didn't raise his voice there, but he was
being shitty.
He was not being nice.
He was being a little shitty.
But it's like, oh, I guess I'll come back here.
It's the only place I know.
Well, that's what happens when I get in an argument with my wife. I go off, and then I was like, well, I guess I got to come home sooner or later. So.
I mean, you can only flee for so long. Eventually, you have to come back. And the real question is how pissed off are they still?
Exactly. And how long can you actually sleep at the library before they kick you out? So.
And the whole time you're going, how can I make this right? Or at least right enough so I can sleep without being stabbed.
That's it.
Smothered.
Good old fellow knows.
For somebody that's never been married, Picard sure has it figured out.
Yes, he does.
Well, why do you think he never got married? He learned enough watching Riker and everybody else. He's like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
I'm not doing these. These are bad idea.
And he probably researched Lashana Troi's past marriages to see what he was getting himself into.
Yeah, no.
That's a lengthy thing. I mean, that takes a lot of research right there.
That book is like War and Peace. Just go on.
Every man she's ever looked at.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Picard saw what happened to Jack Crusher in life. He's like, I ain't going through that. Come on.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yep. No thanks.
That's right.
Nope. Rest in peace, my friend.
So she brings him some soup, and he's like, it's excellent. And she's like, oh, you always say that. And then she bends over, gives him a big face of...
What?
And he's like, "Where'd you get that?" And she's looking at her. He's looking at her necklace.
Oh, yeah. Well, and yeah. That's, he didn't motorboat her.
One could hope.
Well, I've already made the episode art for this episode, and her bending over with the thing is a sister picture, so I just had to bring that out.
Well, and
it looks just like
the probe
that has scanned him. He's like, "Where'd you get this?" And it's the first gift he ever gave her back from their courting days.
I wonder if he made it.
Yes, maybe that was an iron weave.
I just would have been. I just maybe. Think iron weave just means that he's like a blacksmith or some sort. Yeah. You know,
maybe it's just a funny word they give to blacksmithing.
I'm actually having a hard time pinning down the technology of this because, like, they have doors that open up like the Enterprise, but they're just shooting off rockets.
They're just apparently a really big priority for this people was power doors.
No,
like, you know, like, it wasn't a big priority in America.
You know what I hate opening doors.
I hate handles.
Don't you hate handles, door handles?
Everybody aggravates issue with germs.
I know. I always get sick. Can we do something about this, people?
It aggravates my carpal tunnel.
And there was a huge world summit, and they got together, and they figured that shit out.
But they don't want to do atmospheric indenters.
No, they don't want to do that.
We spent all the budget on automatic doors.
Yeah, on the planet.
Yeah, can't do condensers. Sorry.
On the planet Catan. No condensers, but doors, sliding doors, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Indeed.
Does this make sense, people?
All right. So we are still not anywhere past the first act, and we're still we're literally probably 15, 20 minutes into the podcast.
Now, see, that is typical.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next thing we know, we're back on the Enterprise, and Riker's calling for Dr. Crusher to come to the bridge, Aaron's best friend.
Yeah, Crusher. Yes. Will you write a play about this later?
Maybe that's what it's based off of, because it's basically the same episode twice.
It's the
captain gets mind screwed with, and then a season later, almost exactly, the first officer gets his mind screwed with.
Yes. She just took it in her own dark.
Yeah, she just made it worse.
Yeah.
There's no flute in Riker's version, unfortunately.
Well, there's a skin flute, but we don't see
that. That was before. Was that before or after the spoon?
That was
during.
That was the favors he has to do to go to the common area that he has to do for Malik. So play Frere Jacques. Play Frere Jacques.
I don't know the notes.
Give it your best shoot.
He just. I don't know. Just go on. Just finish this.
Did you just say just finish it and get it over with?
Finish it. I know. I was gonna go worse, but I can't. Just go.
Well, you know, that's totally it. That's what she said. I mean, right. I just have to point that out, Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh man.
Now you know how I feel. You get completely lost. You're like, wait, what were we? What the hell were we talking about?
Anyway, so he calls Beverly to the bridge. And it goes to the opening credits, where somehow Picard is still able to speak and talk about the Brave New World, even though he's incapacitated. And
right, I mean,
we see Picard, and he looks older, and he's looking through a sextant.
It's 5 years later.
A sextant with like a telescope on it.
How is he doing that in the middle of day?
Apparently, he's got really good eyesight.
It's that 24th century visual acuity stuff going on with him.
He's the most advanced person there.
Next to Geordi, if Geordi was there.
Well,
it'd be over if Geordi were there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he'd have, like, you know, shuttlecrafts built and stuff.
Right. Yeah. I'm getting off this planet.
I'm going to leave right now.
It would have totally messed up the Catan's plans if they got Geordi or Data.
Well, that plan didn't work. He's gone.
He wouldn't have taken no when they said no to the atmospheric condensers.
Yeah, he'd have Mari built.
Speaking of the atmospheric condensers, he and his wife are talking, and she is complaining about the fact that they haven't really moved on.
It's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years, and he's
since
still
the
looking
fever for incident, and he's still talking about the Starship
How
Enterprise.
Did she not commit him?
You know, all I gotta say is, as a married man myself, I don't believe the wife character in this whatsoever, because any wife would be like, I'm done with you. We're getting a divorce. You're just sitting there looking through your telescopes and everything. This is, and you keep talking about your starship. I mean, I'm right here. So anyways. Just saying.
I'm sorry. All right, eventually Picard drops the bomb. He's like, yeah, so I want to build something, but I need your permission on this one. At least I feel like I do.
And she mentions he built a science lab and a telescope and all stuff like that. All these houses are so built in. Where are they building all these extra rooms?
You built in that second car garage. You put the pool in.
You put the Enterprise shaped playroom in.
You built that mock bridge of your Enterprise.
Yeah.
Where you sit in the captain's chair
and you cosplay just by yourself.
That holodeck doesn't work yet, Captain.
You make me dress up as Deanna Troi.
As Beverly.
Or Beverly. Or both at the same time.
Yeah. She's like, what could you possibly want my permission to build? He's like, a nursery.
I'm guessing for 5 years they've not consummated the marriage.
Oh, they probably consummated it. They just weren't trying anything.
Yeah. He was doing the...
Weren't trying to make them stick.
They were doing the rhythm method.
they were doing some kind
and
of method.
And missing, apparently.
Yeah.
Marksman, he ain't.
He will never be a drum major. Ever.
That's it.
Poor Picard. Poor Picard.
So they decide to have a child, and they have a little girl. And from there, they actually have a second child, boy.
Yeah, and he's gotten better at playing the flute. In the time that his second child has died, his best friend Badai has died.
His second child has died?
No, his best friend Batai has died, and he names the second child after his best friend
right,
that died.
Right, right, okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
Batai.
Yeah, yeah. And the funny thing is, his son actually grows up to become
his
son.
Actual son.
Please. His actual son.
Doesn't look a lot like him, actually.
It doesn't really look like him until later, whenever it's toward the end of the episode, he's starting to bald, and then I can sort of kind of see it. It's like, oh, he's bald, just like his daddy.
Right, right.
Aaron, I got to disagree with you a little bit on that one. Just imagine Patrick with hair, if you can. Just imagine him with hair.
It's really hard.
It's really hard to do that. In fact, I was listening to the interview that they had on the Nerdist, Patrick Stewart, and he was saying how a lot of times he would wear toupees, you know, before he became really famous. And because to get parts, because people didn't want him because he was bald, you know. Yeah. So it's just, I can't even picture it.
Yeah, it's really hard.
And he's a handsome bald man, so it's really hard to see him in any other way. But I've actually seen pictures of him with a toupee on.
Well, I mean, like, he did wear a toupee.
It's bizarre.
Once in the episode where he was, like, flashing back to, like, when Jack Crusher died.
Right.
But it's really, really thin, so you can tell he's, like, starting to lose his hair.
And there was also a movie he did with Mel Gibson where he plays the bad
Braveheart?
Guy. No, he plays the bad guy.
The Patriot?
And he
Conspiracy Theory.
Yes, Conspiracy Theory. That was a good one.
And he has the hair thing on, so... I think he gets his nose bitten off in that movie.
I actually didn't recognize him in that initially. Like, somebody had to point out that was Patrick Stewart, because Patrick Stewart, like, I love the fact that he's bald, because to me, he's just handsome. That is Patrick Stewart to me.
Well, he's got a good-looking, shaped head. There's some guys
just kinda like,
there's some guys who go bald, and their head is not shaped well.
It's like, dude, wear a hat.
Yeah.
Just you need to cover that up. But with Patrick Stewart, it's like, oh, man, it's just... Oh, you're a handsome man.
Well, the thing is, when he auditioned, he auditioned with a toupee, and everyone knew he was bald. So like they were trying to go see him after his audition. It's like, we want to see what he looks like, you know, without the toupee. And apparently, they liked it without the toupee. And
in fact, this has nothing to do with anything. But Gene Roddenberry says, you know, he is French. He should speak with a French accent. And he actually had him do Jean-Luc Picard with a French accent doing the opening, you know, space, the final frontier. And I guess it was so bad, they were like, no.
Because
he was doing Inspector Clouseau, you know, space, the final frontier, you know.
That would have been really bad.
No, it was too bad. It was so awful. Bad, they were like, no, we can't do this. So.
The German, she did do it with the German accent, then.
Space, the final frontier.
Or Italian accent.
The only thing, if he'd done it with a German accent, he'd have been doing a lot of yelling.
Fizz! Die Final Frontier! Here!
Oh, God.
It'll stop me!
Anyway.
Yeah.
We're talking about Inner Light, maybe. See?
Yeah.
Two scoops!
So.
Maybe. Just maybe.
So, where did we leave off? We have their second child being born.
Second child's name, Batai.
Oh, yeah. They cut the signal on the probe, and this is
right about as this happens.
Yeah, and this is where Kamen, Picard kind of collapses.
He has like a heart attack in the Inner Light world.
Right.
But in the real life, he's having a brain aneurysm.
Yeah, he's dying.
He's just laying on the floor shaking.
And I did like how Riker was so adamant. It's like, we can't just let it keep doing this. And him and like
Beverly's like, you don't just pull the knife out of the stab victim. You got to make sure you got something to plug it with before you just yank.
And I just like how he like raised it from like it was like a level 3 intense conversation to like level 10 immediately. Like Riker just shot that off why did it have to get so like intense all of a sudden? It's like
man graduated 8th in his class and he doesn't know to leave a knife in a stab wound.
That's right. And how many people have you stabbed?
Just because you have really good education doesn't mean you understand medical technology at all or basic physics. And anatomy.
Well, Picard laughs when he gets stabbed to the heart by the Noskin. I mean, so apparently it's funny.
He loves it.
It's funny.
It's like a tingling sensation.
It tickles a little. Can you pull it out and go a little to the left, please?
Especially when
he comes to the left.
Now up a little. There you go.
I like when I like the more.
Don't sever the ventricle.
I like when the barbs on the knife tickle my ribs.
Just twist it a little.
My ribs are serrated now.
Oh, yeah, twist it, yeah, oh, yeah.
Watch them appropriately.
Play me like a washboard.
Oh, that was good.
You take the knife out, and you can play me like a xylophone.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay. All right. So,
moving on.
So they have to reestablish the beam.
Yeah,
because
Data figures out how to block the beam.
They blocks the beam, but then they reestablish, and then Picard goes back to normal. So they were like, okay, let's not mess with that anymore.
Yeah, if you could just not do that, that would be awesome.
If you could not try to kill the captain, thanks, Riker.
That'd be great.
You could fill out those DPS reforms. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah, if you
going back to Office Space references.
I got that one.
And Sunday. That would be great.
Yeah. Try not to kill our captain. He's the best captain in the whole Federation. That'd be great.
Of this generation, anyway.
Yes, of course.
Hey, don't put down Sisko.
I'm not. Sisko's not around yet.
That's right.
Technically.
He's not a captain.
Oh, he's not a captain yet, no.
He hasn't even shaved his head.
No, he's not. He's not badass mode yet.
He's not badass mode. He's still talking. Nope. Him and Jake are talking about going sailing.
Going fishing.
And baseball.
Going fishing.
They're going fishing.
Baseball and fishing. Throw the baseball at the fish.
He's still at Utopia Planitia right now.
That's right. So, he's back on the planet. They're.
Picard's talking with his daughter.
Yeah.
A much older daughter.
She is followed in his footsteps. She is a ye old scientist.
Ye old scientist.
Ye old. Well, she's ye young scientist. He's ye old scientist.
Ye old scientist. Yes. And this is where the episode starts to kill me.
Really?
Oh yeah. Where she's just like telling her about I hate that you have to deal with stuff you can't change and go marry that guy and she's like You should have, maybe I should have filled your head with simple things so you wouldn't, understand the gravity of your situation right now. It's just like all these things just start to kind of kill me
emotionally.
Well, maybe
we should actually say it. So we haven't really touched on this. So the whole planet of Catan is going through a drought, and they don't know quite why. Picard studies it. Obviously, the government, unknowing to him, knows this. But the solar radiation from their sun is just wiping out all the
anaerobic bacteria.
Wait. You mean the government's keeping stuff from their people?
What?
Get out of here.
It happens.
Get out of here.
No.
It happens, even in Catan.
No.
But,
no.
but, But
Snowden.
Snowden. What?
I got it.
Anyways, so we
Sorry, NSA.
Sorry. We know you're listening.
So anyway, the planet is dying, kind
of. Yeah, and Picard or Kamen studies has revealed to him that there's no
anaerobic
bacteria growing within the soil. His daughter comes to the same conclusion, and and then he has to basically say, yeah, you know, who knows how much longer we have, but it's not much longer, and he says, you know, you should, you know, marry that guy you've been seeing, and because he loves you, I can tell. And
then she's like, yeah, I know, maybe I should do it sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And they came and ghost the meeting to go tell them about the soil, and then his son comes back and tells them that his wife needs him.
Right. And the government says that they already knew that this was happening.
Yeah, so Picard goes, spends his last moments with his wife, and they send the son away because the son's not important enough to see his mommy die.
I thought that was kind of rough. He's like, I want to be with my husband.
I want to be with my husband.
But Ty, get the hell out of here. Get you and your damn flute out of here. And then she says, put your damn shoes away.
She's like, don't forget to put your shoes away. And then she, croaks. And it's like, and then, you know, Picard, you know, this is, tough on Picard, and then flashes forward another five, six years because
they got the grandchild.
His daughter
has she gets married and they have a grandchild.
I think the living arrangement's really strange.
Well, he's just living with grandpa
and her brother.
No, that's her husband. It's just he just looks like it.
It's her brother.
I don't think it's her brother.
What?
Yeah,
are you making one of them incest jokes again?
No, it's the same actor that plays Bataille.
David is.
No,
I had nothing to do with this one, man. I'm innocent.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it's like
okay,
maybe the husband died and they all moved in with each other.
He was really thirsty.
I think what it was hubby was already at launch site.
Oh, so they just all came. Okay, they all came.
Yeah, they all just came launch. And got Kamen and the grandson.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he was.
What launch? What are you talking about?
Yeah, and
I'm crotchety Picard.
Yeah, I'm crotchety old Picard. So they get him. They get him out to see this launch. They ask Kamen / Picard to go see this launch, and they're like, "This is a special launch." He's like, "What's so special about it?" And all of a sudden, then he sees his old friend Bataille.
You've seen this before. You know what you're talking about. And this is also where the episode really starts to get me emotionally. It's just like, ah.
And then his wife shows up as well.
Oh, it's just like gut-wrenching. It's just like, oh, look, we've put you through all this mental trauma, and now we're just like twisting that knife that we talked about earlier. Now we're twisting it.
It was me the whole time. It was me the whole time.
Well, no, I brought you here. Ah! It's like they're not malevolent about it, but it just really gets you in the feels.
Said that they wanted to have a teacher, somebody who could experience the life and tell people what actually happened on Catan before, you know, the civilization died out, because they knew there was happening. So they launched the probe, and they have this technology somehow, sliding doors and memory implants.
That can get through the shields of advanced ships, and
they can't,
and they figure out how to latch onto the captain of the ship.
They can't build moisture vaporizers or whatever they had in Tatooine, so...
and we're only working with solid fuel propellant.
Right, exactly. So how all this works out, we don't quite know, but they...
They were advanced in some ways and very behind in others, so especially with doors.
Right.
Especially with doors.
They were good on the doors. Damn, those people made a fine door.
I bet that space shuttle had... I mean, that probe had a really good door
the
on it.
The best door you've ever seen. Yeah,
that held the flute that's inside.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best door. He should have kept the door, not the flute.
That was like I know. When Riker opened that thing up, it was like, this is the bee's knees. I can't believe how good this is.
Their doors are so much better than us. How? When everything else is so behind.
Captain, we can't learn much from the civilization, but if we could get their door technology.
we would be able to seriously improve our bulkheads. Like, you have no idea. Energy improvement, like, efficiency would go up like 15%.
I mean, yeah, our whole crew efficiency would go up a good 15 to 20% if we could get these doors thing fixed.
Unless they sit there and keep playing with the doors because they're so cool.
And, you know, people keep getting told if you keep playing with it, it's going to fall off.
Door
That's
opens.
What she said.
Door opens, door closes. Door if opens,
keep
door
doing that, it's going to get stuck in that position.
Door opens, door closes.
Now, if we could figure out a way to replace the panels on the walls with these doors, we would be set.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, hey, there we go.
Never mind needing three crewmen to remove one panel. We just hit a button and bloop.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well,
oh, that's a new definition of easy access.
Yes.
Faith, I think even Jordy could see what you did there.
Oh, man. And blunt, obvious humor, I am the queen of it. If you miss what I'm saying, if you miss my jokes, you weren't paying attention.
Faith doesn't tiptoe around. Faith goes full Monty on the jokes.
So, oh, yeah, no, I go right through them, man. I'm like the Kool-Aid man on a brick wall.
Oh, yeah! Obviously not from Catan, where they mastered the door. So.
Wait, what's a door?
He's right.
Just smashing through walls like a Captain Caveman.
Oh, yeah.
Riker wakes up and he says, "Well, how long have
Picard
I?"
Picard wakes up.
I'm sorry, Riker. Yeah, Picard wakes up.
This isn't fate of mine.
Yeah, that's right.
This episode would have played out so much more differently if the probe would have locked onto Riker.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
how many Riker would have knocked up.
Riker would have. Riker was like, okay. He wouldn't have taken a walk. He would have been like, she's willing. Like,
you're my wife, right?
Oh, so we're married? Okay. Can you show me what the bedroom is?
Do you have a sister?
What do you look like naked?
So Picard wakes up, and he's been like out for about a half
30
hour.
Minutes, yeah.
Half hour. And he's like, he's still trying to like, you know, acclimate back to where he was, what he was before. So, and they bring the probe aboard on the probe. As we alluded before, there's the flute that Picard came and played, and you know, Riker comes in and goes, "Oh, the only thing we found was this," and you know, and then Riker gave him a knowing nod and says, "You're gonna play that shit, aren't you?" And then please.
It's a good thing they looked inside it and it wasn't a bomb or something.
Blow it up.
Just like, here, give your captain an unmarked package.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure they looked at it. It's a fluke.
Yeah.
Hey, could have been worse.
And
could've been a dildo.
We only found this.
Riker would have kept it though.
Yeah. Never know when this come in handy.
it might help to cheer up Deanna whenever I have my sleeping bag.
My sleeping bag out. So, and then we have the closing shot of Picard playing the flute as kind of an out, and they're kind of doing the whole, like, you know, Picard's reflecting on the life that he basically lived in half an hour.
Yeah, it's just so, this episode just so heavy. I can't, like, it's like they reading the Memory Alpha, Ron Moore was like, you know, "We were just thinking about making a good episode of television. We didn't think how badly this would screw somebody up, like, mentally, like, having that." I'm like, how could you not? I mean, this is just like, just watching it, it's just like, I'm just like, wow. It's messing with him so much. He was like, you know, "I never thought I'd be able to have kids. Didn't think it was needful, and now I can't imagine my life without it."
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I really wish this episode would have changed Picard more than it really did.
This is fifth season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right at the end of the fifth season.
It's like this episode before the finale, I think.
And, yeah, because I think in the end, I mean, it would kind of change it. I kind of had the feeling what it would be like if you were to live forever kind of thing. Like, if you had lived forever and you had to, like, say goodbye to people who, you know, people you loved, this would probably be the closest thing to it. Like, you know,
yeah.
you had a whole family life before, and now it's gone. You know, it's like they all died, and you kept living. You know, that's gotta suck. You know, so I don't know.
An interesting thing about the song that's Picard's flute song that you hear him play at the very end of the episode, and the one he plays for his son Bataille's naming day. It's actually
called Naming Day.
It's a they basically remixed the Skyboat song, which is a traditional Scottish song, which I purchased so we could listen to part of it on this episode to hear the original version that inspired his... Well,
bring out those bagpipes and let them rip.
I usually say all my music is provided Warp 11, but this is actually a traditional Scottish song for this one. So Warp 11 did not provide this.
You've gotten much better at playing those bagpipes.
Yeah, I know. It's just pretty cool. But it's the basis of what they based Picard's song on. It's I thought it was really, really cool that they based it off an existing Scottish tune.
That's cool.
Yeah. You want to know something else cool about that?
What's that?
Not only was that just written as like a 2-minute little blurb for this episode, but they expanded it later on, and somebody put video to it for the 40th anniversary of Star Trek.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's actually up on YouTube. Probably still is right now.
Cool. So that kind of recaps the whole episode. So you have a life within 30 seconds and coming to terms with the joy and the grief of not having that and also the joy of having those memories. Justin, I know you picked us out. What made this episode that you felt that you really wanted to talk about?
Well, this is one of those to where the story's got a lot of heart. I felt that if this is going to be a show that if somebody wants to watch Star Trek, this would be one of the shows for someone to watch that has never seen it before.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that because it's not so much in space and it's really, really relatable with the family and the loss and then just the... It's really relatable.
Yeah, I enjoyed seeing the growth of his character. I do agree with you. I don't think Picard from next episodes later they don't really touch on how that would affect you as a person or round you out. But it is an episodic television, even though they kind of have common things that kind of grow with the characters. There's no way you're going to show that constantly. It's not like he's breaking out the flute every 5 minutes in between missions and stuff like that. So,
well, I mean, they did have the follow-up episode Lessons, which sort of kind of follows this episode up a little bit.
Yeah, they say he mentions it or talks about it somehow.
Well, he plays the flute with he plays the tune with the girl with the rollout piano.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and she makes a piano accompaniment to the Skyboat song.
I think he makes a comment about it too in another episode. I can't quite remember what it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also in Generations when he finds out that his nephew has died, that kind of hits him really hard.
Yeah, but that has to do with the family
episode. Yeah, but still, I mean, like, you know, now that he's known having kids, I mean, I think it hits him harder.
That scene with him crying about his nephew is probably the best acting scene in the whole movie. Everything else is like, okay.
Poor Generations.
I know, yeah. How about you?
And so much potential.
Yeah, it did.
It didn't need to be a crossover movie, and you shouldn't have made the Duras sisters into henchmen.
No, I mean, that was just kind of, it all could have been done a little bit better. But instead, that movie is fertilizing that tree of hope on Gressik, or Catan, or whatever the planet was called.
Right.
Yeah, Catan. It's funny. I play a game called Settlers of Catan, and I actually looked it up. Settlers of Catan actually came out after this. It's spelled differently, but it's still Catan. And then a couple years later, they made a Star Trek version of Catan. So I'm like, I wonder if they heard the name and changed the spelling of it. And because it's, you know, your rural society, you got sheep and bricks and wood and, you know, grain or whatever. And automatic doors, yeah. Yeah, well, you build cities and then, you know, I'm sure the cities have automatic doors.
Damn well better. How about you, Faith, anything that you want to bring out about this episode?
No, I really liked being able to see Picard put into an unusual situation and actually get to the idea of a culture that knows that it's doomed doing this as its last voice. Like, the only thing they wanted was just to have what happened be known. That's it. They didn't want to be forgotten or anything else. They just wanted this to be known and nothing else.
I think that's an excellent point because it did bring to my mind because, you know, when Picard brings out this information to the government, his findings, they're like, we've known this for years and we've been keeping it quiet. Do you think on Earth, if this was the same issue, if we're going to, like, in 100, 200 years, this is that there will be no more society, you know, we'll all die out, we'll, like, go extinct. Do you think humankind would all lose our shit and go crazy, or do you think we'd actually be humane to each other?
I think those that would try to be humane would be destroyed by those that panicked, because so much of the populace today does nothing but freak out and panic over things. I think what would happen is that we would actually initiate our own destruction.
Really?
That we would do it prematurely.
I'll go along with that.
So you think everyone... I think there would be maybe some outbreaks of that, but I do think that there might be some hope that people would be like, let's go out in a dignified manner. Like, I can't...
There's not enough rational people left in the world, unfortunately.
No.
People are very self-centered and irrational.
This is probably why the government keeps everything secret. And they're like, oh, we're not going to tell the people that,
we won't tell them about the aliens.
We won't tell them about the aliens. We won't tell them that the world's going to be destroyed in a few minutes from the supernova. It's going to be fine.
The giant asteroid heading for us.
No, that's just a cloud. It's a cloud. It's okay. It's just a very heavy cloud.
I mean, you do see people pull together after emergencies and after major disasters and things like that, but that's the thing, is that that is after the disaster, after they've experienced the trauma. They wouldn't have the time to actually adjust to this or anything else, and I don't see them reacting to it rationally. It's like being told you're going to die in 5 years.
Yeah, but you know, I think you do have that freak out moment. You're going to be dying 5 years, and like maybe you go out and you like buy a sports car, and you know you try, you know, smoke all the drugs you can possibly smoke, and you know screw all the people you can possibly screw. But I do think you have a moment like that. It's all bullshit, and you realize that pretty quickly.
We're mature, rational people on the show. Strangely enough,
speak for yourself.
Despite the way we joke, we are mature, rational people.
I don't know.
This is for entertainment, quote unquote, purposes only.
we're passionate, understanding individuals. So, like we empathize with those around us. We would want to do something about this, but that's not everybody else these days.
Okay, but let me just put it out: this is that I think. This is my viewpoint, that probably 90 to 85% of most people you meet are in the range of normal people who are...
magic crazy.
No, that are compassionate, kind, caring people. You know, that these are all people who actually care about, you know, their neighbors and people about them. I don't think that everyone's going to become like, it's not going to become Mad Max all of a sudden. I think it's going to be a lot of people looking out for each other. I think there would be the 10%, the 15% of psychopaths who are going to try to, you know,
spray paint their mouth with chrome.
Whatever they're going to do.
And
yeah.
Kill themselves.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, Aaron, is all it takes is one person launching a nuke.
Well, of course. Yeah, but why would you launch a nuke when you only got 200?
Easily, because all of a sudden you have a limited number of years, you've got a limited number of resources, and what do people want most?
Resources.
Control.
Yeah, I guess. I would hope that maybe society would hold together a little better, but... Yeah.
We're not even holding it together now.
Yes, we need the Federation right here, right now.
We'll not be able to do that for probably another 50 or 60 years. Society is going to need time to mature. Like, it's not that I don't like my fellow man. The problem is that the newer generations are just retarded. They have a lack of respect and understanding for things that are going around them, and they react first before they understand that things happen for a reason. Where all of us, we go, okay, yeah, this makes sense, and then we react to it. Everybody else is, and then they don't recover from that because they don't have the experience or anything else to go, oh, wait, I done fucked up. I need to go fix that. This is not the way I should have done it.
But I think this is distinctly an American way. I mean, you know, Justin, you're over there in Japan. I mean, if they knew the end of the world's coming in 100 to 200 years, how do you think the Japanese would handle it?
Gojira!
Yeah, look at the way they react to Godzilla, okay?
They do really damn good when Godzilla comes by.
I think in my little sampling, it would be a little less proportionate. I mean, you still have those few that are like, oh, crap. The world's going to end. But everybody else would be like, eh, a couple hundred years. I got time.
Yeah. You think they'd be good with it? Make the most of it?
Yeah. They'd probably just go on living their lives the way it is because it's a couple hundred years down the road. I don't know about you, but I don't have the lifespan of a Vulcan, so I wouldn't see it.
Right. I guess.
Yeah, and that culture there is a lot more laid back anyways.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I gotta move there.
Back to Okinawa, meet your old girlfriend now.
Do you still have her number, dude?
No.
Ederson! This little Ederson!
There's a reason why we leave.
Little Godzilla! Little Godzilla!
Little Godzilla! Yeah, she was a giant reptile that came from the ocean, and
you were its baby, and then it came its lover.
She let these eggs drop out of her crotch area, and I had to do some things to them, and I don't know. After that, she didn't call me, so she just ended up trampling my town.
You mean cloaca? Let's use scientific terms.
And they hatch, and they're like, "Oh, daddy,
daddy."
Edison.
Speaking of errands,
konnichiwa.
Speaking of errand scoring,
you are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me.
Of us. Of what we might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays. I can't!
Shut up, kid.
Okay, so actually, as the good guest I am, I have this week's score.
Cool.
And I think Aaron may have given us a fail. I don't know yet.
I haven't done anything.
Okay. All right, from where I'm sitting, this week's score actually comes from Captain Picard, the duration of the episode. Because we often, as humans, we often wonder, you know, what would have been like if I'd have done this instead of that? Like, what would have happened if I'd have had a family instead of decided to pursue a career in Starfleet?
Right.
Well, Picard actually got to experience the other side of the coin, if you will.
Yes, he did. And
what a pain in the ass that was!
I will never be the same again. I have been mentally traumatized. I need to have daily counseling sessions with Deanna Troi, preferably with no clothes on, just to help make me sane.
Right. So yes. So you're giving a Picard a...
A Picard Riker scores. I think this is the first time we've had a Picard.
Yeah, we haven't dealt with too much with Picard as in most of the episodes.
Considering we've had like three Next Generation episodes back to back.
Yeah, but they haven't really dealt purely on Picard, so...
I got to give Picard the score on this one.
Yeah, he did pretty well. And, I mean, he went to bed with his wife the first night he met her, so come to bed. I don't think I'm just sick.
I'll toss and turn. Let me be the judge of that.
Let me be the judge of your tossing and turning.
We know he's made hanky panky at least twice.
That's right.
At least. And so he's got children to show scores. For it.
Yes.
Yep, that's it. Picard definitely scores on this one.
Yeah, does well.
You might not like this, but I gotta give a Riker fail on this one.
What?
To who?
A combo?
Yeah, Riker failed in this one, trying to separate Picard from the probe and almost killing him.
Well, that has nothing to do with his sexual prowess.
Totally different subject, my friend.
Well, cool. So I'm still intrigued with the underpinnings of the philosophy of this episode. I think it's one of those things that you just keep mulling over every time you see it.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with, to me it hits me the points of the idea of the end of the world or a civilization coming to an end and a family life or just a life.
End of the world as we know it.
or just having a family and knowing and having that, you know, that life kind of infused into your memories and you're like,
You know. End of my lineage as you know it. End of my lineage. His family's all going to die.
Gotcha.
This song is not provided by Warp 11.
No.
Well, when it's badly sung by me, I'd hope not.
No.
Warp 11 slightly more professional than I am when it comes to singing.
We're going to do greatest hits of Dave Duncan Sings REM songs.
That's the only one I know. And I only know the one.
You're going to learn more.
No!
Everybody more. Hurts. Losing My Religion. You're going to do all of them. We're going to have a whole...
That's my default. That's what I go to when I this is a band I don't know. I'm just like, I'm still singing Ice Baby.
I picture Dave. I picture Dave whenever he's like in line for anything. He just sings to himself,
Ice Baby. Now stop, hesitate, and listen. I'm back with another listen.
And then they're like, are you singing Ice Baby?
No. I usually sing Sad But True to myself when I'm in most places. I'm your hate when I'm just bare.
That's depressing. Man, you gotta
Sad But True.
You need to start singing Ice Baby. Man.
I'm your cries while you're away. I'm your pain while you repay. Sad But True. David's Metallica tribute's probably going to be more accurate because I know more Metallica songs than I know other ones.
No, but it'd be hilarious if you do REM because it just would not fit you.
Like Britney Spears.
Oh, God.
That would be funny, too.
Coming to a YouTube near you. Probably never.
We'll get you with a snake around your neck.
Should I get like the little... I've got enough hair to do pigtails, probably. So, yeah.
Oh, baby, how was I supposed to know? Anyways,
you can be one of my backup girls, Aaron.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for that. So let's stop torturing our listeners and get back on topic.
They love us.
Anything else we want to bring out about this episode?
It was a very good episode. I cried every time I watched it. I probably watched it about 4 times getting ready for this episode because I thought we were recording it several different times and it just fell through. So the space-time continuum. It kept looping back to the time I watched it. So I watched it about 4 times, but it was good every single time. And like the same parts really hit me like every single time. Like when he's talking to his daughter about not being able to change the world. I mean, that's hard. And then like his wife dies. I didn't really cry at that part, but it's whenever she comes back and she's young again, and he's like, it's just like,
you didn't put your shoes away.
He's like, I knew it was fake the whole time.
And then Matai's like, oh yeah, you know it. You've seen it already. It's like you told me I was crazy for all this time. You told me I was nuts for believing this.
Yeah, no,
it blamed it on the fever.
It's a touching episode. It's well written, and it's one of those things that you just you know, like not every episode of Next Generation, even the later episodes, are always like golden, but this is one of the golden ones.
Yes.
You know? Just can't get away. It's just it's so well put together. You know, that everyone delivers.
Yes.
This is one that stands the test of time.
Yeah, definitely does. It's good. It's a good episode.
Well, thank you for joining us, Justin.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, Sumi.
It was a good time.
Very good time.
And thank
you. Hope we get to do it again.
Definitely.
One day over the... No, I don't know. One day.
Hello, computer.
All right.
Out there.
We'll live long and prosper, one and all.
Live long.
Thank you all for listening. All my music was provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys.
At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin.
Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
My family is military.
Military.
I dated a girl from Okinawa, actually.
Oh, good for you.
It was a long time ago.
Still, yeah. Congrats.
Yeah, congrats, man. Way to go.